Welcome to TalentWise, the definitive podcast for CXOs, human resource and learning and development leaders. This show comes to you from thought leaders who talk about human capital development in today's organization. How to engage and empower today's employee to be effective, competitive and relevant. Stay with us for an exciting conversation with our guest and learn how to future-proof your team. I'm your host Shubhanjan, founder of KnowledgeBridge. Today, we have Dr. Sridhar Mitta, founder of Next Wealth Entrepreneurs, an unique IT company that helps global clients gain insights from their data by blending human touch and digital technologies.
Nobody can predict how it's going to happen, but the trends are known to us, and we have seen this in the past. But the problem is, some things what we project will happen, some things won't happen. For example, artificial intelligence was supposed to change things 50 years ago, but nothing happened. But today it's happening because the underlying technology factors are available today. It was not available then. So like that, we can have a false expectations. But the problem I see here is, because of the nature of technology being fast, other supporting things, human activities, legal activities, things like police, army, secret, cyber security, all these things are not matured to the extent they are required. So why should it take so many years of social media, almost 10 years, to find out fake news is a problem? We know from day one it can be a problem. Right. It's not an unknown thing. But only we are waking up, we still don't have the solution. After the impact of bad impact, now we are waking up, now we say we need rules, we need regulations, we need compliance and all those things. But what will happen is this rules and this will deter the growth of new technology. But this thing, you can't have technology growing without any barrier and not impacting people and their lives and the social nature of the people.
Our guest today is Dr. Sridhar Mitta, a pioneer of the Indian IT industry with global standing and recognition. His professional experience can be summarized in three simple words: technology, business, and entrepreneurship. He was the first employee of Wipro, the Indian IT giant, and remained its CTO for 20 years. He spearheaded product development as a service from India and was instrumental in creating the global R&D center at Wipro. He is currently the founder of Next Wealth Entrepreneurs, an unique IT company that helps global clients to gain insights from their data by blending human touch and digital technologies. Alumni of Andhra University, IIT Kharagpur and the Oklahoma State University, where he got his PhD, Dr. Mitta was included to the SEAT Hall of Fame in the same university. He is also associated with the Indus Entrepreneurs and advises various venture capital funds, government departments and startups. Now, on to this insightful episode of TalentWise with Dr. Sridhar Mitta. Dr. Mitta, welcome to TalentWise and thank you for your time.
Thank you, Shubhanjan.
I would love to start by asking you to talk about your vision of where the world of work is headed.
See, let me say that the world of work is too big a canvas. I'm more interested in talking about new opportunities which are being created by technology and the global impact, which can be exploited by the Indian workforce. For example, we are talking about lots of graduates, both science, arts, engineering graduates, who are passing every year and who are not participating in the IT BPM revolution. So they have all the capabilities which are required. There is a huge market which is developing, and the only reason why they are not participating is because of the geography. So they are in small towns or rural places, whereas IT companies are big cities and metros. But ironically, this is the same problem which IT industry has solved for the last 40 years, when the work came from US and Europe to Indian cities. and we are still struggling how to take work from Indian cities to Indian small towns. So that is the subject which I would like to talk about. I am passionate about it, and we have some experience to talk about.
When you started NextWell, I know that you started with this distributed workforce and distributed model, and you have gone through a few revisions of that model. But more importantly, you are talking of technology enabled work, yet one of the fallout of technology enablement is that people are going to lose some jobs. So can you talk a bit about that and talk about how you are interpreting it now?
See, everybody knows that technology is continuous. It happens all the time. But when multiple technologies happen at the same time, we get a resonance. So we get world-beating products, for example, internet or cell phone. These kind of items came not because of one technology growth, but multiple technologies intersecting at a given point in time. This typically happens once in 10 years, 15 years. But what is happening today is many, many technologies are coalescing now together, and it creates a huge opportunity in which all the current industries has to be revised, opportunities for new companies to come in, and there is a danger of some of the existing companies may become irrelevant. So whether you are an individual or a company or a government or a NGO, you are not going to be left alone. The technology is going to affect. For want of better word, we are using the word digital technologies, which covers artificial intelligence, machine learning, robotic process automation, Internet of Things, like that. All these technologies are interrelated. The contributing factors are same, and we need to address them. So when these things are coming in, one of the impact of these technologies is to do more of automation, which essentially means all work which was typically done by human beings through a process can be replicated by machines, which essentially implies that the number of jobs or varieties of jobs are going to come down. For a country of 1.3 billion population, it's a big danger we are getting into. Irrespective of what people may say, it is a fact that there are jobs being lost. But the interesting part is, automation itself creates a new set of jobs for which you need a new set of skills. So the people who are losing jobs, unless they are retrained, not always possible, they will lose their jobs. The people who get jobs are different from the people who lose jobs. So it is essential that whether you are already working or you are a new person coming out of college, you have to get yourself trained in new technologies. The good thing what is happening here is there's a lot of opportunities available to import these technologies, because large companies like Amazon, Intel, Microsoft, Google, they're offering varieties of courses on these new technologies for you to become self-sufficient. In addition to that, we have the MOOCs, massively open
online courses,
which also will help you to become knowledgeable. So the technology is creating a change, creating new opportunities. Technology is also helping you to get trained for these things. So what businesses have to do is to combine all these things into a viable, scalable, profitable business.
You're talking of the shift in the type of work and the availability of manpower in the second tier towns or third tier towns who are ready to do this new kind of jobs that are emerging. Tell us a bit about more, and how do you see the landscape evolving over the next few years?
See, when we did an analysis of the talent pool available in small towns, tier 2, 3 towns, etc., the number of colleges, the number of graduates, the gender distribution, and the quality and the their readiness, we have come to a conclusion there are 40,000 graduates passing out every year from these four states in southern India who qualify for a job in a good IT company like Wipro or Infosys or IBM. And these people are not participating in the IT industry because of the distance I told you. But the investments have been already made by the parents, the students, the teacher, the state, the college and everyone. And because of this problem, we are not utilizing them. It's a sunk cost of investment. So if work can move there and these people are trained appropriately and offer the same type of environment and opportunities, so they can come out. About 60-70% of this workforce are female. Even though they are qualified to work in a city and a big company, the parents don't allow them to go for a gender reason. But they don't mind their working close to home or near home, and it gives them an opportunity to work. Plus it creates a social impact. So first of all, they earn money rather than being keeping out. It increases their social status within the home or in the vicinity of their house. They get money to buy a few things which they were not used to buying. Help their parents, help their siblings. And also the marriage gets postponed by a few years. And when they're ready to get married, they have their own money rather than they have to depend on their parents. So there's a huge social impact of this model, which can have a far-reaching impact.
From your experience over the last, right now nearly 2,000 people are employed in various centers of Next Wealth. What kind of impact do you see, like you mentioned, on the people and their surroundings?
See, we measure both the financial metrics like the profit, revenues, growth, those kind of parameters. But we also measure the social impact index, which covers both the physical aspects of what do you possess. You have a bicycle, now you go for motorcycle. So you have this one, but you go for that type scenario. And second one is the emotional and other impacts which you create. Okay, so we measure that by a third party vendor, and we have developed an index. And it is very encouraging to see them. We do create an impact, social impact.
About 10 years back, you remember, we started talking about the demographic dividend of India, 1 million youth joining the workforce every month for the next 20 years. A lot of initiatives were taken, and arguably results has not been much. That's the fact. So one question is, how do you see the digital services can impact that part? That is one question. The second question is that technology is changing extremely rapidly. What do you see requires to be done to keep them relevant? Because what the way we are doing it today and whatever training we give them to bring them into the workforce may not stay relevant, say, 2 or 3 years down the line, because massive changes will happen at the other end in terms of core technology. So two questions. One is the demographic dividend. How do you see this approach impacting that? And other is, how do they stay relevant? How can we future-proof this generation? We will take a short break now. When we come back, we will hear Dr. Mitta speak on how the demographic dividend, that is adding 1 million youth to the workforce every month and will continue to do so for the next 20 years, is working out for India. Stay with us.
You are listening to a Show How To audio original. Podcasting is one of the fastest growing content marketing avenues today. We can help you exploit this largely untapped marketing opportunity. We can craft your audio strategy and leverage the wide reach and easy streaming capability that smartphone penetration provides. It is powerful and personal. Talk to us to find out how podcasting can help you build your brand and reach out to target audiences.
Welcome back. Before the break, I asked Dr. Mitta how the demographic dividend is working out for India. Let's start with his thoughts on the subject.
See, the demographic dividend issue is essentially says that I have a human being who has the intelligence and who has the capability to work. But number one, they are to be identified. Number two, they are to be trained. Number three, they should be employed. See, what is happening is most of the programs, government initiatives, everything is done on training the people. Okay, but there is no connection between the training of the person with the employment. So this is an open loop system, it's not closed loop. That's where it's failing. National Skill Development Corporation, they're doing a fabulous job of identifying what is the work requirements in next say 10 years and which industry needs what type of job description, what type of training, what content, how do you assess them, and finally somebody has to implement. So they are working with the industry associations to implement at the ground level. For example, for the IT workforce, NASSCOM is the implementation agency. So the problem I see is, yes, NASSCOM will take this course to engineering college and they say this is the course, this is the content you have to teach and you will get a job. But they don't guarantee a job. So whereas these people or students or graduates, they say we'll do anything we want. Just show us a job, guarantee us a job. So that's where things are failing. So we are not able to convert the demographic dividend into a real thing because we are working forward from person to skill, but not working from employment to skill to person. That's the problem.
Right.
The second question, see, the way to do us is it is the job of the company, not the person. If the company is keeping track of technology, business opportunities, so they should be able to take these people, convert them at the appropriate level, appropriate theme or appropriate things to, so that they can go. So it is one side, I would say, major responsibility is with the company which is hiring them today. Plus, it's also the responsibility of the person to show the initiative and to learn new things and kind of situation. So if company is interested, if the person is not interested, it's of no use. Person is interested, the company is not doing, he has to do himself, which is available, possible today, but it's up to them to do it.
So that brings me back to the opportunity that you have identified for Next Wealth and what you are working on with significant success over the last few years. What is this big opportunity of digitization of data? How big is it according to you?
See, we talked about digital technologies which comprise of artificial intelligence, machine learning, robotic process automation, Internet of Things, augmented reality and all those things. Each one of them, the key element is data. So people nowadays say data is the new oil of digital age, which is true. So the data as it is available, large amount of data continuously happening, has to be consumed or to be monetized. So this is what the technology does. But always the available data and the data required by the technology or the technology algorithms are not same. So it needs to be processed. And we can automate that process itself. But the problem is there is always exceptions. There is always certain things which algorithm cannot find out. But before that we have to teach the algorithm. So we need training data sets. So it takes a lot of time, effort and training to get these algorithms to become really useful or commercialized. So eventually when you use let's say algorithm to autonomous vehicle, that algorithm has to distinguish between a person and a cat and a truck and a car and other things. It doesn't know. So you have to give thousands of images of cats and dogs and vehicles and people and all those things, so that it can distinguish after a certain amount of time. So if you take 1 hour video of a autonomous vehicle and to annotate and to do labeling what is what, needs 80 hours of work by a person. So now you can see the hugeness of this thing required. And this cannot be done at current possible rates of advanced countries, or for that matter even in India, Indian cities. It has to be done at 1/4 the current rates. The one and only way it can be done is by going to places where cost of living is low, people are available, and you can train them in the process, and we create a business which puts all of them together to give what is required. And this opportunity is few billion dollars of value, and fortunately NASSCOM has identified this as a potential area for future growth, especially in tier 2-3 towns, especially for women, people with disabilities, people coming from lower strata, or people from other areas. And now they are working out certain programs to evangelize and orchestrate this opportunity the way they have done it 30 years ago when initially IT came in and then subsequently BPM came in. So they have that experience to do that one, and I hope they will be able to do that.
So you sound optimistic about the opportunity and the fact that we have in India the know-how and the expertise to actually create processes around delivery, global standards, and also managing the manpower, infrastructure, etc. We just, the difference is that this time we need to take it to the tier 2, tier 3 cities instead of doing it in the large cities in India. Would you have any estimate of how many people can be actually engaged in this?
Yeah, again, let me correct one thing. See, the work with respect to algorithms and technology, all this has to be done in the tier 1, in the cities and all those things, existing companies. When I said tier 2 and smaller places, I am talking about data related work or data enabled services.
Got it.
That's one. So the estimate is at least a few billion dollars, and the number of people can be a couple of million people easily.
Do you see any competition to India from, you know, for example, places like Philippines, which are traditionally some of the work like the BPM work has moved, especially call-based works, voice-based works have moved to places like Philippines. Do you see that as any threat, or the opportunity is so large it really doesn't matter?
See, I'm not too much worried about competition from other countries at this point in time. That doesn't mean we are not going to have any competition from anywhere. See, in the case of BPM, a lot of work has moved in voice to Philippines. But the problem of Philippines is that there are only so many people. So it is already saturated. Once it's saturated, the prices go up. So that's what is happening there. There's a possibility that countries in Africa can be much cheaper than yours, and there are available in East European countries. But they don't have that experience of taking the people, training them, and putting quality process, and then delivering SLAs continuously, which India has been doing for the last 20 years in IT and BPM. Of course, they can also come up on all those things. It takes time, and we don't recognize the importance of people we have and their competence relative to other countries. So if you do a good job, like what we have done in IT services and business process management services, the data-enabled services by itself can be a huge opportunity.
Rapid change in technology is creating a lot of challenges for human beings. Globally, it's an issue. People are losing jobs. People will also lose jobs. Lot of tiers of management will vanish simply because less people can do a lot more managing, etc. So what do you think are the key areas of focus is required to future-proof your team or your organization?
It's a management challenge, like any other things. Nobody can predict how it's going to happen. But the trends are known to us, and we have seen this in the past. But the problem is, some things what we project will happen, some things won't happen. For example, artificial intelligence was supposed to change things 50 years ago, but nothing happened. But today it is happening because the underlying technology factors are available today. It was not available then. So like that we can have a false expectations. But the problem I see here is, because of the nature of technology being fast, other supporting things, human activities, legal activities, things like police, army, secret, cyber security, all these things are not matured to the extent they are required. It's a like gold rush days of California.
Right.
Okay. So why should it take so many years of social media, almost 10 years, to find out fake news is a problem? We know from day one it can be a problem. It's right. Not an unknown thing.
Right.
But only we are waking up, we still don't have the solution.
True.
After the impact of bad impact, now we are waking up, now we say we need rules, we need regulations, we need compliance and all those things. But what will happen is this rules and this will stop the, not stop, deter the growth of new technology. But this thing, you can't have technology growing without any barrier and not impacting people and their lives and the social nature of the people.
So what would you say the managements or people, business leaders who are essentially creating the jobs or essentially running organizations which are employing large number of people, what kind of attitude or focus should they have to ensure that the human capital that they have remains relevant?
Yeah, it's not new, it's the same thing before, but the only thing is pace at which you have to do is different. Mm-hmm. See, if a manager is happy with what he has today, business, growth, another thing, he says he has a problem. See, C.K. Prahlad used to tell, don't follow best practices. Best practices were good yesterday. For tomorrow, they may be good, may not be good. You have to invent next practices. So that's valid of
True.
The managers inventing what the company has to do next year, next 2 years, next 3 years. And if he is doing same thing what he had done last year, next year, problem is there.
So are you seeing anything happening which particularly you find inspiring or you think is in the right direction? Is there anything that you are seeing right now?
Yes, certainly. You know, some companies have taken advantage of these things. For example, Nextwealth has been changing every year since we have been there, and there are some companies which are doing it. But my desire is that more companies, large companies, have to do it. Unfortunately, they are not, because they are kind of busy with answering the stock market or markets. To protect their profits and all those things. But that is the problem. If they have to apply new technology, it will affect the numbers, financial numbers. But the Dalal Street doesn't like it, so they don't do it. So somewhere trying to balance these two, they lose out. And then they try to go and buy a company which is in that area. And many times it works, many times it doesn't work. So that's the challenge.
TalentWise is brought to you by KnowledgeBridge. We produce customized and multilingual visual training content. We have worked on complex processes, products, and skills development for large blue chip brands such as Tata Motors, Mahindra First Choice, HomeLane, Epson, Toyota, Citibank, and Consul NeoWatt, serving diverse industries. Talk to us for your next custom content requirement and be pleasantly surprised. Call us on 9902163132.
Thank you, Dr. Mitta, for your time. It was really nice talking to you, as always. And I'll circle back to you later in the year and see how things are going at NextWell.
Thank you. Thank you, Shubhan.
Thank you for being with us today on TalentWise. We hope we helped you focus on some actionable ideas today. It was certainly enlightening for us. We hope to see you again on our next episode. If you liked what you heard, subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast platforms like iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcasts from, and give us a rating while you're at it. Thank you in advance. This Show How To Original podcast is produced for KnowledgeBridge, the multilingual visual training platform and custom training content creators by Show How To Audio. Hosted by Shubhanjan Sarkar and produced by Rajiv Aditya. See you next time.